Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Debbie Rowley.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for the needle and thread people. Debbie who?
Yeah. Well, a lot has happened since the last time we talked. I've got a new grandbaby, and I've moved from Arkansas to Oklahoma. So it's been very chaotic in my life. We'll just put it that way.
Well, congratulations on the new baby. Everybody's fine, huh?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's great.
Great. Yep. So that's two grandchildren?
That's a total of four.
Four.
I've got two in West Texas and now two in Chicago.
Oh, way to have them close. Excellent.
Yeah. We're real thrilled. Yeah. There's no babysitting because I'm too far away.
Right.
But I also don't get to see them on a very regular basis. So.
Yep. No, I know that feeling with our two grandsons in St. Louis. Yeah, we have to fight for weekends to get to see them. Yep.
Yes. Yes.
And FaceTime only goes so far.
Yes. Well, I FaceTimed with my son in Chicago this morning, and of course, Jax is running around like a crazy person, and every once in a while he'd run by where his dad was and grin at me, and then run on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. That's the same thing we experience. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're on camera. Hi, Grandpa. And
yeah.
Then it's all of a sudden we're running all over the house. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And the call usually ends when somebody falls and bumps their head or something. Yeah.
Yes. And then there's crying.
Right.
Yes. Exactly.
I got to go.
Yes. Well, and I don't FaceTime that much. And I use a different form of communication with my daughter called Marco Polo. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Oh, don't know that one.
It's video messaging. So it's, your camera's on, you record a message, then the person watches it. And so we do that because she is not allowed to text, but for some reason she can Marco Polo. And so we Marco Polo.
Hmm.
And we had a whole exchange with Skylar and Emily. Of course, they're much older, but they had been left unattended and they were arguing over what they should watch on TV, and they decided that roping Papa into the discussion would be a good thing.
Work the system.
So, Skylar would come on and he'd say what he wanted to watch, and then Papa would respond. That Emily would come on and explain why that was not what she wanted to watch, and so Papa would respond, and it was just. And then when Elizabeth got home, she messaged us to say, "I apologize for my children."
Yeah, that.
Yes, but anyway, it's useful. We do it with our kids, especially if we want to show them something.
Uh-huh.
So I've walked around the house to show them various things around the house. And so anyway.
Oh, I'll have to give that a try. I did not know about that one. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty neat.
Good. And you're making your way into your new home. So.
Yes. Yes.
The burning question. Now, this is the one that all have asked. Have you found a manicurist?
No, I have not.
Oh, this is not good.
I called today to the salon where my mother-in-law goes, and they have girls that do manicures. The one who was there when I called is not taking new clients.
Okay.
So
a manicurist who's full up, huh? Wow.
Full up. Well, I think they also do hair. But anyway, so the lady I talked to is the one my mother-in-law had a standing hair appointment every Friday for years until she's immobile and can't get in to the beauty salon now, which is, everyone who has a standing hair appointment knows how tragic this is. But anyway.
I have no idea.
Yes, you have no idea. Well, you don't have any hair. So
that is part of the problem, yes.
So anyway, I told her who I was, and she said, oh, yes. She said she talked to my mother-in-law last week. And anyway, so she is going to try to find me a manicurist.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Oh, the testing begins. Oh, boy.
Yes. Yes. And hopefully I will not have to go two towns over to find someone to do my nails. But, if I have to, I have to. That's
okay. Well, if you have a class with Debbie coming up, don't look at her hands in the videos. That's,
Yes, we're pretty much wrecked right now between the injuries and the moving and everything. We're pretty much wrecked.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's see. You punctured your hand with a nail in the wall. You sliced off some skin off the same hand. And what was the third thing?
I pinched it in the garage.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. Yeah. All in the same hand. Yeah.
All in the same hand. Yes. So my puncture is doing well. And the bruised thumb is also, you can still see a line where I pinched the skin. But the slicing the end of my finger off, that's going to take a little bit longer to repair.
Your talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, it could have been any finger but the index finger, because the index finger is the one that I put my trolley needle on.
Yes. Excellent. Well done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well done. Yes. Well done.
Yeah, I was going to say there's workman comp for it, but you're the company, so that doesn't work.
There's no comp. There's just put this thing on your finger and keep stitching and hope it doesn't hurt too much.
Right. Right. Oh, jeez. All right. Well, you've been busy since we last talked. Yay for you.
Yes, been busy.
Yeah. All right. Some update housekeeping things. Do not forget, if you haven't listened to Jacob DeGroff's piece from Modern Folk Embroidery 2 weeks ago, do that. And then remember, through June, you can buy Jacob's charts, actually anything on his site. So get a CD. I have his CD now. You got to get the CD. So you can get all that for 20% off. You just use the coupon FiberTalk. And I had said that it was, he spelled it the European way, F-I-B-R-E, talk, all one word. But then he also put in one, F-I-B-E-R-T-A-L-K. So you can use either one. It'll work to get 20% off through June on his on anything on his site, music and all of his charts. So, he's got some nice designs. Really good. Yep.
I have been so busy. I haven't had a chance to listen to Fiber Talk, and I also have not had a chance to look at the links. I knew you were talking to him, but is his usually European embroidery is a little different from American embroidery. Do you find that to be so?
Well, all of his stuff is cross stitch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't remember where the embroidery came in, other than I think over there it's all embroidery.
Anything done with a threaded needle is called embroidery.
But no, his is all cross stitch. But he's got a unique style. Really a unique style. Yeah. I now have three or four of his charts.
of course you do.
Because I want to do them. Just about everything he does is just single color.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, but yeah, he has a real nice style to him.
So does he use overdyes, or is he using just a single color of DMC?
What he stitches is a single color. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, you should look at it. You might be able to steal a couple of ideas out of him.
Okay.
Because it's just
steal someone's ideas. It might inspire me to go in my own direction.
There. Okay. Sure. Yeah, that sounds good, okay. Debbie. Yeah, I'm writing that. Let me write that down. Just a second. I got to get that down. He really is. He really has an eye. It's very nice stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll make sure I take a look at it when I'm up in the middle of the night and can't sleep or something.
Yeah. You have that problem too. Yeah.
Not lately. Lately it's, can we go to bed yet? And it's 8 o'clock because we're just exhausted.
But, it's really good stuff. And then, he recorded a CD, and basically it's music to stitch by, but, I really enjoy listening to it. It's just real quiet music, piano, and
lovely.
Yeah, give it a try. Yep.
Okay.
20% off.
Okay.
Okay, and then the Queen's Sampler. This is the last project that I'm getting involved in where I don't sit on, when I first talk about it, I'm not sitting on all the threads and all the materials. So Kim is working hard to get the rest of the threads so that Vonna and I can start the Queen's Sampler. So we said after June 1st, not June 1st. And it's definitely after that. So, I have half my threads and the linen and Vonna the same. And, Kim's just waiting for, silks. Should be here this week is the plan. And then the other thing Kim is going to do for those, there seems to be interest in folks starting the Queen's Sampler with us. Kim is going to put together kits. So as soon as she gets the supplies in, which she indicated the other day it would be this week, she's going to put together kits. So we'll let you know about the kits. And she said there would be a discounted price on those. So if you're interested in doing the Queen Sampler with Vaughn and me, you can get a kit from Kim and save a little money and be ready to go. But for those who have asked when we're going to start, we're going to start when we have the materials so we can start. And the other advice, last time when Vaughn and I talked, I said we were going to do the white work first. I've been advised by about 150 people that if we're going to have those things on scroll rods and do the white work first, that we're pretty much guaranteed that the ground cloth will come apart under tension over a period of time. So I've been told by more than one person, do not do the white work first. So plan B coming up as soon as I am home 2 days in a row so I can figure out how we're going to do it, because I don't want to crush all the dimensional stitches at the top. So we'll figure it out.
Well, could you roll, you're using scroll rods, right?
Right.
Well, could you roll a piece of thin batting? Would that help protect the dimensional stitches at the top?
It's worth a try. Because some of them are pretty pretty dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that, okay. All right, we'll give that a try.
Yeah, I'll just because you want to roll them tight enough so that you have good tension for stitching, but not so tight that it crushes everything. And you might try the batting, not heavy batting, but a thin batting.
Yeah,
might work.
Okay, give that a try. Because I want it. If we're going to stitch, do cut work on scroll rods, you want it tight. So
right.
Okay, I'll give that a try. Good idea. Okay. Thank you. So those of you who are interested in doing the Queen Sampler, Kim will have kits at a discounted price, and we are going to get started. Vaughn and I have talked more than once. And to reiterate again, this is not a formal stitch-along. This is Vaughn and me fumbling our way through this thing over the course of time. It's not going to be a race, so you can join any time and most likely catch up to us with a little bit of effort. But we'll do some shows. We're talking about doing some split screen, Facebook and or YouTube, some special podcasts, something, all kinds of a mixture of things. And of course, following us on Instagram is a good way to keep up too. So that's coming up. But we got to have materials first. And yes, I'm still a long way ahead of Vaughna on Sarah Brazier. She is still way in the distance. So. All you people cheering for Vaughna, keep cheering because she needs it. and then when I was at Kim's, we had needle minders, fiber tuck needle minders for all of the attendees of these Nicola Parkman workshops. And people have asked about those, and those are coming soon. We had enough made for that event, and then we are having more made, and I got to get set up so we can actually do business off the website, which will be coming soon. So within the next 2 or 3 weeks, I expect that we'll be able to start offering the needle minders to those who are interested. And yes, Debbie, cool. I'll send you one.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
It'll be my pleasure.
I appreciate that.
So, those are coming. So those who are wondering about that, I guess that's it for the housekeeping things.
Okay.
Oh, and this is Needlepoint Week. So we have Debbie today, Wednesday, and then Sunday's guest is Joanna Summers of the Plum Stitchery, and she is a painted canvas stitcher and curator. She has several artists that she represents, so that'll be
wonderful.
Fun. So it's all Needlepoint all week.
Oh, yay!
Yep. It's what I try to do every now
Excellent.
And then.
Excellent.
So moving, I'm curious about, now your stash, no doubt, is pretty big.
Well, yeah, because it's not stash. It's more like kitting supplies and inventory and stuff like that. And I do have complete thread lines of several threads that I pull from when I'm getting ready to stitch a new design and things like that so that I have it to hand.
Right.
And so for the most part, what I've used are these, I got them at Office Depot. They're plastic file drawers that are relatively shallow, and there's 6 drawers in each cabinet thing. And I've got, I think, 12 of them or 16 of them. I'm not sure. So I had them stacked three high in Conway, but they're not, it made the top drawers unusable, or I had to take them completely out to see what was in them. And so I've got them just stacked too high here, and it makes quite a nice little row. And I had the movers just wrap plastic around the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
So that worked really well. And then a lot of my other things that I have are in, like the Sterilite containers that you can get. Yeah. That are relatively big, and put that. So I had those, put the lids on them, and so they moved like that. I told them, just tape the lids down. Well, some of these lids are broken. I said, I don't care. Just tape the lid down, and they'll be fine. And so that's how a lot of other things got moved. And then my models are in much bigger Sterilite tubs, and I think there's six or seven of those.
Six or seven tubs full of models.
Six or seven tubs full of models. And so because, most of my models have been on display at the local shop. And since I was moving, they had to come with me.
Ooh, that left some wall space.
Well, yeah.
Ouch.
The local shop is the Stitcher's Garden in Conway. And she's remodeling. She bought the building next to her and added, I think, 1,500 to 2,000 square feet onto her existing shop. And they're taking the walls down between. And so everything was having to be moved anyway. And so she got everything off of the walls and stacked up and ready for me. So I went and picked them up and put them in my tubs, and those all moved like that.
Now, did you allow the movers to handle all that stuff, or did you take some of it with you in the car? Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Are you kidding? No, I had to take the propane tanks from the gas grills in the car and all the gas cans and stuff, because they can't move that.
Oh, good. And you're so, a rolling fire bomb. Okay.
Yes, I told my husband, if I'm rear-ended, I'm gone. So, so that had to go in the car with me, and, a suitcase and the food from the refrigerator and, stuff like that. That went in the car with me. They handled everything else. And, I just slapped the lid on that sucker, tape it down, and load it in the truck. And that's what they did. Because, we've moved all this stuff around, and we used to go to do trade shows and stuff like that and stacked everything up. And, my models are used to being moved.
Yeah.
I don't have glass on anything.
Okay.
None of my models have glass on them for a lot of reasons. For one thing, it's expensive. And most of the models that are for my charts that retail shops have don't have a frame on them. I mounted them and matted them, and that's it.
Okay. Just keep it simple. Yeah.
A frame is heavy, and it takes up a lot of room on a display wall. And so they were all mounted and matted. My teaching pieces don't have glass on them. Well, and if you have glass on them, then people couldn't see them.
Right.
Couldn't see the depth of the stitches and stuff like that. And so my teaching pieces, usually it's required that they not have glass on them, because those get shipped all over the country to advertise for next year's seminar or next year's class or whatever. And so it's easier if they don't have glass on them. And I was at Washington, D.C. taking my pieces to A&G seminar for next year's display. And one of the teachers had shipped a piece with glass on it. The glass shattered, and so it's dangerous for the people who are unpacking it. It can also cut the threads.
Yeah.
And so, they were having to call the teacher to say, we've got to unpick we've got to take the glass off of it, and all this. So it was just a big mess. So anyway, none of my teaching pieces have glass on them. Save weight, yeah. So that they don't get damaged in shipping. So usually what I do is I bought a bunch of styrofoam sleeves. Now, for people who are having trouble picturing this, if you go to like Lowe's or Home Depot, they have dish pack moving kits. And these are basically styrofoam sleeves that you can slide a plate into. So I have three different sizes of those.
Well, I didn't know those existed.
Yeah. And, I buy them.
Well, I mean, I've seen the sleeves, but I figured there was some kind of a specialty packing thing. I can just get that at Home Depot, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Now, I don't know if you can get the right size that you need, but you can from Uline, because that's where I got mine. And so I've got three different sizes of these styrofoam sleeves, and all of my models are in these sleeves. And so that makes it much easier for shipping them, because it doesn't take up as much room as wrapping them in bubble wrap. And, you know, of course, the paper shreds is the worst, and nobody wants that.
Right.
And peanuts, and shipping peanuts, they're also horrible. So styrofoam sleeves, flap it in a box, they're well protected, and away they go.
Well, see, this is good to know, because when I travel with needlepoint pieces mm-hmm. on stretcher bars, mm-hmm. I put them in my backpack, because I always keep them with me. But I'm always concerned about them getting damaged in the backpack, because I just wrap them in like a plastic bag just to keep them from getting dirty. But to put them in a styrofoam sleeve would at least give a little bit of protection.
Right. Right. You know, they're very thin, very flexible, but they work great.
It's something.
Yeah. Yeah. They work great. And I've got hundreds of them.
And I can get those at Home Depot, huh? All right.
Yeah, you can get them in the dish pack in the moving section. It's a dish pack kit.
Okay.
And so, and it's these little styrofoam sleeves. And so, you know, the ones that I wasn't using for models that I had in my storage, I was slipping my plates into and putting in the dish packs. And then, because I can reuse them.
Sure.
And so, you know, they moved to my dishes here. And then as I was unpacking my dishes, I was stacking them up and putting them back in a box so that I can use them for other things.
Right. Well, I've learned something today. That's good. See?
Well, good. I always hope. Yeah. I always hope to be informative.
Well, it's when I travel, that's always my concern, is, you know, that even though I'm careful and it's in my backpack and it doesn't get beat up at all. You know, just something's going to happen. My last flight, I was sitting in an exit row, so I had to put my backpack up on the overhead instead of under the seat. And so then you never know who's going to put what luggage up there next to
exactly.
yours, and, you know, that kind of thing.
I'm like, did you not see this computer bag up
right.
here that you thought you could put your 80-pound carry-on on?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm always concerned. So this will give me one more little level without a bunch of extra
right.
bulk and hassles. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. See, when I'm taking models, like when I'm going to teach seminar or something like that, and I need to take the model with me, I put it in one of these little foam sleeves, and it goes in my suitcase that goes in my check bag.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually they're too big for me to hand carry.
Right. Right.
But they'll fit in my checked bag. You know, so I don't have any clothes in my checked bag because I have my projector, my screen, the stand for the screen, the speakers, the extension cord, the model.
Yeah. Yeah.
All that stuff.
Oh man. More valuables in your checked bag than your carry on.
Yes, exactly. But yeah. You know, I've got all of my stuff has traveled around the country pretty extensively. I've never had any damage, knock on wood, and hopefully I won't in my travels this summer as well. So we'll see.
We'll pull for that. Yep. So the moving is stashed because of you just put it in boxes and moved it then.
Right. And, you know, I have my rolls of canvas in. I don't know if they're available year round, but after Christmas, you can really score on these. The things that you store gift wrap in
mm-hmm.
rolls. So my rolls of canvas are in those. So I said, tape the lids down on those. They'll be fine. And so that's what they did.
Okay. See, there's another thing. Because I have just a few small rolls, but they're wrapped in plastic. And so
yeah,
I could
there's two different sizes. There's a longer size, which is what I have my 40-inch rolls of canvas in. And then there's a shorter size where if it's not 40 inches wide any longer, it goes in the smaller one. But then I also have tubs of canvas. See, every time I'm cutting canvas for a class, let's say I need 14 inch pieces, and I always want to give my students a selvage edge. And so I have 14 inches off of one side, 14 inches off of the other side, that leaves 12 inches in the middle, which to me is perfectly usable canvas for a wide variety of things. And so I roll that up and I save that too.
Mm-hmm.
So I have 12 inches wide, 8 inches wide, 10 inches wide, based on, you know, in all different colors, depending upon, I mean, right now I have acres and acres of gray 10 inches wide or 8 inches wide.
Anybody needs a 10-inch wide piece?
Well, it's 8 inches wide because it was from my my class with Shining Needle Society for angles, and those the canvas is cut 16 inches, and so 16 and 16 is 32 off of a 40-inch wide roll leaves an 8-inch piece. So I have 8-inch wide pieces. So if you want to make a let's say a Christmas ornament, and you don't want it to be traditional red and white.
Debbie can fix you up.
I can fix you.
Get it out of my house.
It's good because I use those pieces for my video stitch demonstrations.
Oh,
Because, you know, I don't want a big, huge piece of canvas that I'm managing for my video stitch demonstrations. I want a small piece. And, you know, because I'm stitching one stitch here, and then I scoot over, I stitch one stitch here, and then I scoot over and stitch one. So 8 to 10, 8, 10, 12 inches wide is perfect for that.
Right. Well, and see, that's the thing, something I got a lot of experience with a couple weeks ago with the Nicola Parkman workshop I went to, where everything the whole workshop was doodle cloth. It was done on doodle cloth. We didn't do anything on the sampler itself. And doodle cloth also works on needlepoint canvas. And
absolutely.
Those little scraps sitting around are a good place to practice. Yeah.
Well, and you know, I recommend for needlepointers, you know, especially who are wanting to audition a stitch to see if they like it. You should always have a piece of canvas mounted to 8-inch or 10-inch bars handy by so that you can just stitch a little sample on there and see if you like it or not. Just do it with pearl cotton. Don't do it with the fancy thread. Do it with pearl cotton or floss, something cheap and something that you have a lot of. And that way you can see how the stitch looks, if you can stitch it well, or if you decide, you know what, this stitch is too much trouble, I'm not going to stitch it. But that way you've got a doodle ready to go.
Yep.
And, you know, you should just always have one in your stitching bag so that you could try things out.
Yeah, and also a good place to practice partial or compensation.
Yes.
If you have to do those, yes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Just to see how it's going to look. And you can look at a diagram, but, you know, there's diagrams and then there's diagrams.
Right.
You know,
right.
If I have a project that has compensation in it, I chart that out so that my students don't have to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is not usually the case if you're working on a painted canvas. And so, you know, you need to be able to figure out how to do the compensating. And it's easier to do it on a doodle than it is on the actual painted canvas.
Right. Well, yeah. And on a doodle cloth, you know, whatever line you're trying to compensate to, draw it right on there. And
right, exactly.
Yep. And then what is it? Somebody told me once, do that and then make the full stitch so it goes beyond the line. Will help you visualize what the compensation needs to be.
Well, exactly. And when if you're doing a needlepoint canvas and you need to do an area that's going to have compensation, start in the center of the area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then you stitch to the right side, stitch to the left side, stitch above, stitch below, and that way all of your compensation will be at the edges instead of where it will be more visible. It's like if you're laying carpet, you want the seam to be where it's not going to be visible, or you know, any tile or things like that. You want the seam to be at the edges and not in the middle.
Not in the high traffic area, yes.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. So that's the way you do it with the painted canvas.
Yep. So, yeah, scraps, keep them. Don't throw them away.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Valuable. But that's, you know, that's a good thing, too, because, you know, you think doodle cloth, that's just a piece of cloth or a canvas that you have laying around. But to mount it on an 8 or 9 inch set of stretcher bars, much easier to deal with, yeah.
Much easier to deal with, and you know, you have more of a visual record,
right?
Instead of trying to memorize, oh, what did that look like? So, oh yeah, and you know, if you do it a lot, just save all of your doodles and you know, write directly on the canvas. This is a this stitch. This is a you know that stitch.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can just write it on the canvas. What do you care?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you care? It's not your piece, right. But that way you'll have a visual record of what you're doing, and it'll be easier to recall to see that. Now, my doodles I throw away. I can't keep everything.
Well, that was...
My husband thinks I tried.
Yeah. We'll ask him someday what he thinks. Yeah.
Oh, listen. You know, I love the man with all my heart and soul, and I would not have moved to Western Oklahoma otherwise. But when my sister, bless her heart, came to help me pack because Rod was busy with his mother and couldn't come to help me pack. And I could not tell you how many boxes we have that are labeled Rod's wires. We have all kinds of wires and extension cords and wires, mm-hmm. and more wires and power supply wires and more wires.
And if you threw even one of them out, that would it'd be the next one that he'd need.
Well, I told him we've had an issue when we were in Conway of him stacking stuff up on my countertop in the kitchen. And so I told him when we moved here that there was nowhere on the blueprint that it said stack your crap here. And so he showed me a picture of them working. And of course there was tools and all kinds of stuff. And I said, if there is stuff stacked on my countertop, I'm going to hold your wires hostage. And for everything that's stacked on my countertop, I'm going to cut a wire in half.
Ooh. Ooh. That's playing with fire there. Ooh.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Wow. Tension in the Raleigh house. Ooh.
Oh, well, you know, you got to tease each other.
Yep.
So yesterday when we were trying to find my headphones for doing the podcast with you, we had to go through 3 or 4 boxes of wires looking for them. But anyway. Like I said, love him with all my heart and soul.
But he's got a lot of wire.
Got a lot of wire. And I got a lot of thread.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't really crank too much about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. No. It's just a matter of frivolity and humor.
Yes. All of those things. Yes.
We were cleaning out one cabinet and it was a lot of speaker wire. And I know that we don't have speakers that need speaker wire. And so I asked him, I FaceTimed with him and said, can I throw these wires away? And he said that I could.
Ooh.
Ask permission before I threw them away.
And you have a recording of that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Save that file. Yes.
Yeah. Save that. It's, where's that speaker wire? You know, yards of speaker wire. That
you said, I have it right here.
You said I could.
Yep. Hey, Needle Arts Mystery Retreat, are we still able to register for that?
No, registration is closed for that because we had to order supplies. And, sometimes we might have – if you really have a burning interest to go, you'll just have to email us. Depending on the colorway, if there are enough supplies, we might could arrange it. But officially registration closes on June the 1st.
Okay. Sorry, folks.
But if you want to go to ANG National Seminar in Houston, you can still register for that.
Debbie is teaching.
I'm teaching. There's a lot of people teaching and a lot of classes that have openings. I know I've got openings in both of my classes. Curdy has openings in both of her classes. I think John Waddell has openings in his class. Cynthia Thomas has openings in her class. I don't know. Those are just the ones that I've seen on Facebook. I know that there's others that are teaching there as well, and there may be openings. So, you know, if you would like to go to Houston in August, and who wouldn't?
My first trip to Houston was in August.
Yeah, well,
yeah, I'll never forget it.
So, you know, it's not that big a deal to me. We're going to be in an air-conditioned hotel, in air-conditioned restaurants, air-conditioned cars, air-conditioned airport, air-conditioned shops. You might be outside for a grand total of 30 seconds at a time. So,
yep.
Yeah, you can manage.
Yeah, it'll be okay.
It'll be fine. And come eat lots of good Mexican food and enjoy going to seminar. It'll be fabulous.
Yes. Yeah, the Mexican food's good down there. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I've been told that one of the original ninfas, which is fabulous Tex-Mex food, is within walking distance of the hotel. So I may be eating there several times because I loved it when we lived in the Dallas area. So
if you have questions while you're there of Debbie's classes, you know where to find her.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yep.
Yep.
And if you buy her a nacho, she might even help you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, not a nacho. Enchiladas.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Enchiladas, guacamole, and maybe a margarita or two. We'll see.
Oh, geez. Oh, man. She's getting wound up. Getting wound up. Hey, I wanted to ask you now, I know you haven't had a chance to listen to Sunday's show. Folks, you got to listen to Sunday's show with Pat Goodson. Had several comments about that. She talks about standing up and stitching standing, which is interesting. And then she wrote to me after Sunday and said that one of the benefits of standing up and stitching that she had forgotten to mention is that her head isn't bent down all the time. And so it's easier on her neck. And so she wanted me to mention that that was yet another benefit she's found of having being able to stand up and stitch.
So is she a tall person or is she a short person?
I can't really say.
Because I'm trying to visualize my stitching frame that I have and getting it up tall enough so that I could stitch on it without bending my neck. And I just don't know that it would extend that far.
Well, it doesn't. And we talked about that, that none of the frames do, but hers is on, she has it on her dining room table.
Oh, okay.
She moved it up so that then she could have it adjustable to the height she wanted on the dining room table.
Okay.
And,
well, you know, a lot of artists paint standing up.
Yes. Yes.
So this is not a foreign concept.
No. And it's, I mean, it worked really well for her. I'm going to try it. If I could be home for 3 days in a row, I'd give it a try. I want to try it. I think there's some real benefit there. And,
having stitched with a table stand at seminar before I began teaching, the hunching over is really uncomfortable. And, you know, it might be something those who are going to a seminar or a class might want to consider standing in the class. Now, I don't think you should be at the front of the room if you're doing this for those who are sitting, but when you're in a class stitching for 6 hours at a time, you know, it's 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the afternoon, and then you do that for 5 days. We're not accustomed to that, and I can see the fatigue in my students.
Yeah.
Because I've experienced it myself. Mm-hmm. And you cannot stitch if you're uncomfortable.
Right.
And so, you know, it might be something to those of you who are going to seminar or to taking a class or whatever, you might want to consider that. Okay. So my husband, you know, rides bikes and has done some races and stuff like that. And he says, you don't do anything in the race that you didn't do in practice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that applies to your clothing, that applies to your nutrition, your water, your equipment. You don't do anything in the actual race that you haven't practiced. So if you are interested in standing, especially at seminar or someplace like that, practice that at home to make sure that you can be comfortable with that before you go to seminar. If you're in my class, I don't have a problem at all with you standing. Okay. Do what you need to do to be comfortable to stitch in my class. You might check with one if you're not in my class, and why would you not be? I don't understand this.
Right.
But you might want to just email the teacher and say, I'm going to be standing. Is that okay? And I can't imagine a teacher would say, no, you can't stand in my class. But, you know, anyway.
That would be tragic, yes. Yeah.
I think as long as you are not obstructing someone else's vision or their stitching space, I can't imagine why it wouldn't be okay.
Yep.
But I would think, practice it at home first
to
make sure that you can make the adjustments that you need and the equipment that you need, as opposed to taking time in class trying to figure everything out. So practice
don't do
it
that.
At home.
Yeah, don't do that.
And, you know, just practice it at home first to make sure that everything's going to work for you doing that.
Yep. No, I'm actually anxious to try it because now that since we recorded that show and I've had time to think about it, I've kind of got a plan mapped out here for how I'm going to do it.
Okay.
And I'm anxious to try it. And I want to set up I got to figure a setup. This is what I'm working on, so that I can stand for a while and then quickly sit. You know, I can just, like, if I have my stand on the table, I can set it on the floor, move the main post up and sit down and stitch. Because I'm pretty sure that starting out, you stand for a while and then you have to sit down.
Right.
Until you build up some endurance.
And, right.
And I think some days you just sit down.
Yeah.
Because you just sit. It's just the way it is.
It depends on what else has been going on in your life and how fatigued you are.
Right.
Because, you know, honestly, unpacking, packing, unpacking, packing, moving, rearranging, et cetera, the idea of standing does not seem appealing to me at this point.
Yeah, I want to sit. Yep. Yeah. So it was just interesting, and encourage everybody to listen to that, because there's something there. There's definitely something there. And then the other thing, and I wanted to ask you about this, Debbie, she talked about that in her writing classes at Texas A&M, that she teaches that the first 20 minutes are your most effective time when you're writing. And so we were translating that to stitching, which should be effectively the same thing, and encouraged people to take little micro breaks, like walk around the house, stick your head outside, whatever, because it re-racks your brain and refreshes you. And she was talking about writers that if you sit down and do binge writing for 2 or 3 hours, that you'll invariably find that what you wrote in the first half hour is good and you keep it, and the rest of it either is garbage or needs to be reworked extensively. So yeah, you're making extra work. And so then we talked about that as in terms of stitching, is your best stitching in that first half hour? And then you need, if you take a little break, then you're more effective. And then over time, if you do it for 4 hours in a row, you start to build up stitches because you lose focus. And it's something I'm definitely going to try.
Okay. Well, here's what I think about that, because, you know, everyone's dying to know what I think about this.
Right. I'm writing that down. Everyone is asking.
I would think it would depend on the kind of stitching that you're doing. If you're doing something that is a very complex count or multiple, like if you were cross stitching and it's multiple color changes and things like that, to where it's easy to lose your place, that might not be the best approach.
Yeah.
If you're doing a double fan doubled, very complex, or a Walnetto or something, I would strongly advise that you finish that before you start moving around, because, you know, now I can do a double fan doubled. It only takes me about 5-10 minutes. Even a very complex one, because I'm not looking at the instructions. I've done dozens of them. But for someone who's doing it for the first time, or the second or third or fourth time, and you're not completely sure of your technique, I would strongly encourage you to finish that before you move on to the next thing, before you take a break.
Right.
You know, we all get interrupted when we're stitching. Phone calls, the dog barks. You know, things have to be done. The dryer buzzes and you need to go take care of the clothes in it and stuff like that. But I tell my students in class that some things it's better to go ahead, if you're going to start it, go ahead and finish it before you break, because it will be too hard to find your place again. Now, I tell them how to find their place and all this other kind of stuff, but some things it might be better to go ahead and whack it out, as opposed to, okay, it's 20 minutes. I've set my timer. So now it's time for me to get up and move around.
Right. Well, and a lot of those stitches, if you don't finish them, you can lose the tension. And
yes.
Yeah. You almost don't have a choice, because then you'll have to go rework half of it just to get the tension right again.
Right. That's, you know, it's like a row of eyelets or something like that. You want the tension to be the same on all of your eyelets.
Right.
And so it'd be better to plan your stitching sessions so that you can do those all in one go, as opposed to, okay, I'm going to do 5 now, and then 2 days later, I'm going to come back and do 5 more in the row, And then, oh, well, these five don't look the same as those five. And so it would be better to plan your stitching session so that you can do all of those at once so that your tension will be better.
Right, right. But even that, to say, I got five eyelets to do, I'm going to do the five, then take a break and you know, go do something. To re-rack the brain, yeah.
Well, and not just that, but to stretch your muscles, to shift your focus. I mean, that's one reason why we take breaks in class is your eyes get tired, your shoulders get tired, your neck gets tired, your hands get tired. And so it's better to put, it's really hard to do in class when everybody's really involved and they're wanting to stitch, especially the first break that's scheduled in the first session. Nobody wants to quit.
Right.
And so sometimes I just have to force them to put everything down, stand up, change your focus, move your eyes around so that your eyes don't get tired. So your neck and shoulders don't get too tired.
Well, and that's the thing.
The same thing applies at home.
Yeah, and that's the thing is when muscles start to get tired, then you don't realize it if you keep going and you start compensating in other ways so you can keep stitching. And that's when you start causing yourself injuries that not immediate, but over time, because you're compensating and you're getting out of your natural position.
Right. And, you know, you get that knot between your spine and your shoulder blade.
Right.
Then it requires, you know, money and time for someone to work that out for you. So, you know, I think the idea of getting up, moving around, changing your focus, taking a little break, I think that's good. But I think you also need to be smart about when you need to do that.
Yeah. Yep. No, it was a good discussion because, I'm sure there's a lot of people that will sit down for 2 or 3 hours and not budge. And
I can't do that either. The way to combat that is to always have water with you because you're going to have to get up.
It's a built-in alarm right there.
It has to come out. You're going to have to get up. And so, you know, always, well, you know, you need to stay hydrated and all that other kind of stuff so that, again, you can cause some injury to your body if you're not hydrated. So if you're well hydrated, you're going to get up and move around.
Yep. You will not have a choice.
Will not have a choice. And that's not a bad thing.
Nope. No. I think in general, people who stitch need to move more, need to get up and move more, whether it's every 20 minutes or whatever it is. I think a lot of people just sit too long. And I can understand, you get into it, you got a good movie on, you got a good audio book, and you got to remind yourself to get up and move around. That blood's got to get shifted every now and then.
Right.
And
yes.
Especially out of the ankles and feet. It's just got to get moved. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't want anyone to get a clot.
No. But it's
a stitch.
Yeah. And you forget about that. It's easy to forget about it. And,
it is.
Yeah.
It is easy to forget about that.
So, yep. Move, people. Move.
Yes.
It won't hurt. Well,
even if 20 minutes seems like it's too short a time frame, aim for 30 or 40 minutes. And then, you know, you can adjust from there. But set a reminder, if you're listening to an audio book, if you're watching something on TV, you can pause all of that stuff.
Yeah, but it's the big scene.
And you know what? It'll still be the big scene when you come back to it.
Okay.
You can rewind and watch it again.
Ooh. That's outside the box there, Debbie. Wow.
Oh, I know. That's just foreign thinking.
Yeah. I don't know if we can do that.
I don't know.
I don't think so. No, the movie's got to flow the way it flows. No.
That's why I like to stitch to things I've seen a gazillion times.
Yes. There's a lot of benefit there.
I can
look
up at the parts that I want to look up at, but the rest of it is just on. It's just noise.
Yep. You know what's going to happen. Yep.
I know what's going to happen. The alien is going to jump out of his stomach again. That's just going to happen.
That movie.
One of my favorites.
No. It was one that Margaret and I went to early on. I know she was convinced I was going to have a heart attack. I don't do well in those movies. And that one is filmed to do nothing more than scare the daylights out of you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it scared the daylights out. Oh, and there's still times I'm watching the first Alien movie. I know, well, they're eating their dinner, their spaghetti, that alien is coming out. It still scares me.
It's well done. It's very well done. But the one time I saw it is all I care to see. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, no, that's one of my faves.
Nope. Can't
that
do that
Harry
one.
Potter, you know, I like Harry Potter movies, and I like, what else do I watch? Oh, Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
Lord of the Rings, I can watch that one right after the other and put it on repeat. My husband's like, I don't know how you can, there's too many characters, there's too many creatures. Can't get into it. Like, nah, okay.
I saw all those once, and yeah, not the Harry Potters, but the Lord of the Rings, and
yeah,
they dragged on too long for me.
Yeah, so. Different strokes.
Hunt for Red October, that's mine.
I love that one too.
Yep,
I love.
You can have that one on and never miss a beat. Yep.
And Patriot Games. And,
oh, yep.
Yeah, you know, I love all of those.
Yep, exactly. All right, Debbie, we're gonna call it there. I think.
My questionable taste in movies.
No. Other than Alien, I'm with you 100%. But that Alien one, oh, man. Ugh. They had one plan, and it was effective. Yep. Okay, let's see. Sunday, Joanna Summers, the Plum Stitchery, will be the guest. And check with Kim Young at Sassy Jack's for Queen Sampler Kits. And please sponsor or support our sponsors, Sassy Jacks and Fat Quarter Shop. And remember, the hashtag Fiber Talk Made Me Buy It gets you off the hook every time. Yep. Spend money and then they complain and you say, hey, Fiber Talk. Yep. Not my fault.
Hey, you know, floss is cheap.
That's right. Not my fault. I'll take all the blame, really. It's okay.
Yeah.
All right, Debbie, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.